Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulder, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, Janine, and let's talk truth. Hey, let's talk truth, straight from me to you. Hey, no need to worry, there's a brighter day. Just live your life no matter what they say. Let's talk truth so you can understand. Why not just power and it's on the man?
Good afternoon and welcome to Let's Talk Truth. We have a wonderful episode today. Have your actions destroyed a child's life? It is something very soul-searching, and we're here today to have this discussion. So please welcome Lois Bullock, your host.
Well, good evening, and thanks for that wonderful introduction, Shannon. And I want to say I'm just real thankful for my special guest, co-host, Kay DeWitt. Thank you so much, Kay, for being a part of this broadcast. First of all, I want to thank God for allowing us to get to know each other. You know, it's very seldom in life you find two people that really share the same thing and believe in the same thing. But today we're going to talk about, have your actions destroyed a child's life? Now, a lot of us will emphatically say, no, I have done everything I'm supposed to do, and I've never done anything that, you know, would really go against or hurt a child in any way. But if we really, really think about it, we're in a capacity or a responsibility stage, whereas you're either a parent, a guardian, a family friend, you're in the school system or the church, but either one of those dimensions, you touch a child's life. And anytime you can touch the life of a child, we have to really stop and focus on what we're doing, why we are doing it, and what we're saying and who we're saying it to and who overhears and things like that. Now, I was thinking about something that was so unique. God has always made provisions for his children, always, because what everyone is born with a purpose. Now, I was reminded of Moses in the Bible. Those of you, we're not here to preach to you, but I want you to absolutely understand. This show is saying let's talk truth. So if we're going to tell the truth about any situation and get to the bottom of a situation, we have to absolutely encompass the Word of God in it. Or it's our opinion. Now, and who knows, our opinions aren't worth anything. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking about Moses. Now, you have to know what a child is up when it comes into the world. Now, Moses' mother knew what he was up against, and she also knew that he was purposed to do something great for Christ. So when he was a baby, she took precautionary measures. He wasn't even walking yet. But she said, there's potential danger out there for this child. So I'm going to make sure I protect him from the evil that will eventually come against him to destroy him. And we cannot let God's seed be destroyed because of something that is not going well. So what I'm asking you to do tonight is put yourself in that position, or just think, have you been in that position before? And I want to welcome my co-host, the precious, precious Kay DeWitt, and we have other callers on the line, and I want you all to feel free to stop and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm calling from this place, and I promise you, you can be a part of this. You can talk and say whatever you want to say according to the subject. Kay?
I'm here.
Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
You know, Lois and I don't rehearse anything. We are so much on the same wavelength that we always bounce off of one another. We could do a radio show every time we call one another. And so we just touched base about a half an hour ago, and I told her I had nothing planned to say, but I lied because I had one thing that I wanted to share that so touched me. You know, even kids who are brought up in Christian homes, if the parents don't walk the walk, Christian kids can be the hardest to reach. So with that said, I was very blessed by Lois's daughter, Shannon. Now, Lois is somebody who puts her money where her mouth is. She has taken in at-risk kids. She has walked the walk in front of her children. Now, upon my sharing that with someone, the remark was, well, how did her kids feel? Did they mind that? And I said, well, I don't know. I've never had the chance to really speak with Shannon. Well, I got that chance last week when, calling Lois, Shannon answered the telephone. So at one point, I asked her if she minded the fact that her mother brought in all these kids. Now, from a very early age, and even when I was a kid umpteen years ago, there were kids that were dubbed as the bad kids. Therefore, the kids that weren't very lovable. Of course, anyone ever says that to me, I say there's no such thing as a bad kid. Kids do bad things. It's called sin. So even Shannon at her age realized that there were some of these kids who were considered bad kids. So upon asking her that question, did it ever bother you? I mean, did you ever feel neglected? She said, no. The only thing I didn't understand, she's a kid and she's heard the gospel message, but, you know, kids don't understand agape love. I mean, Christians don't understand agape love. So she said the only thing she didn't quite understand is, like, why does my mommy care about these kids when other people don't? And to this day, she remembered her mother's answer. Lois said something to the effect, well, you see, honey, they don't have mommies to love them like you do. They have no one to stroke their hair or comfort them. She went on and on. Everything that Lois had said, she remembered. In other words, that Lois's words impacted this child, and she said at the end, she just said, wow. In other words, what a mother. Now, somebody like Lois would preach Jesus to Shannon. I'm just saying that, Lois, because I was, it was so, and I didn't want you to know I was going to say it, so touched by that, because that's where it's at. If we as Christians want to preach Jesus to our kids, they've got to see us, you know, us living it to make it real. So I just wanted to throw that out, you know, to just people to know how you know, I'll give a message, but you are the message.
That's good. I'm glad you said that. You know, Courtney is my son, and he's here in the studio. He can't be here very long, but I want him to share just a little bit of something that happened to him when he was a little boy.
Okay.
My daughter was nine, my son was five the first time I took them to church. And they had to, they had never been in church. So when I took them to church and they saw everything that was going on, my son was 5 years old. And he had access, well, I got married to a pastor. And his situation changed a little bit, five, six, seven. There was a little boy in our church who tried to fight my son every Sunday at church.
Mm.
And I would tell him, I don't want you to fight him. I said, he is going through some things you're not, and we're going to help him get through this. Well, my son, being young, he was obedient, though he didn't understand it. And I started inviting the little boy to go home with us after church. And he would go home, but every time he'd come to his house, on, they steal something. And my son would say, Mom, he's taking my stuff. I said, that's okay. Don't fight him. Now, my son is here just for a brief minute in the studio. I want him to share, if he can remember that far back, his feelings, what he actually felt about this young man and how he came to grips with helping this young man, even though they were brought up with two different lifestyles. Okay, Courtney, go ahead.
Well, when I was younger, I really didn't have anything or whatever like that. I wasn't super rich. We wasn't super rich or whatever. So when it came down to that situation, I was like, all right, you know, it wasn't really no big deal to me. It's just another dude to play with. But I would look at him and I was like, okay, he's, you know, he's taking my stuff or whatever like this. So I did get mad, but I was letting other people amp me up. And then when I really looked at it, I realized that he didn't have what I had, so I tried to make him comfortable when he came over my house. Even though he would make me mad, I tried to make him comfortable because I knew what it was like not having nothing. I had a sister that I could play with, but material-wise, we were kind of in the same, you know, at his point in life, when I was younger, I didn't have anything either, so I kind of felt not sorry for him, but I felt that I understood what he was kind of going through with not having anything. So I just tried to make him comfortable with where I was, try to make him like family, like I always do, try to do with people. Try to make them family, try to make them feel like they're loved or whatever. Because we don't know what, I didn't know his situation until, you know, until I got older. I didn't know about his mom and dad and him. I was like, whoa, I can understand why he act like that. So it's just that, you know, sometimes kids do know, but we just let other kids push us, try to make us act out toward a person when we know what's better to, you know, to be kind to that person. And I think that's a lot of things like how kids, you know, tend to act out. They look at their friends and somebody new and say, well, if my friends don't like it, I don't like it. But they need to give people a chance so they'll find out, you know, oh, they just like me, you know, just another buddy to play with, you know. Mm-hmm. You get tired of shooting hoops by yourself. I don't want somebody else to play with you. So that's my take on it.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for being here and sharing that with us. And I really wanted to say that because our children don't know how to fight back unless we allow them to. And I used to tell my son, I said, that young man, first of all, his mother was dead.
Mm.
He watched his dad shoot his mom. His dad was in prison. He was living with a grandmother who had a third grade education, and so she didn't have much to offer him. She had about 9 kids. So he had to fight just for a spot. And that's what I began to share that with my children. I said, he fights because that's all he knows how to do.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've got to love him. Show him he doesn't have to fight. Show
Amen.
Him he doesn't have to steal, that you'll share anything you have. And once my son and my daughter got that message over to him, they became the best of friends.
Amen.
He didn't steal from them anymore. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to share that when we're talking about our kids. And we have some more, Kay. There are two other people on the line, and I would love for you to come on and say something. Maybe you've done everything perfect. Maybe you've never interfered with the life of a child. But I know I have, until I came into the understanding of Christ and to know how to show unconditional love. Because we tend to love what follows us or what obeys us. But what about
Amen.
That child who, what about that child who is rebellious? What about that child who's, and they're only rebellious because they don't have a place to stand.
Amen.
They don't have a anything that I can call my own. That's why that young boy was stealing. He didn't have nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And we have to start giving children what's theirs. And the first thing to do is put your arms around them and hug them.
Amen.
You know, let them know you are important.
Amen.
You don't have to do what you do. You don't have to gang bang. You don't have to do home invasions. You don't have to do none of this. You're so brilliant. We have to find a way to do that. So I started a program with the children that's in my church, and we have this thing that we're working to prevent youth decay.
Praise God.
And what we do, what I try to do is introduce them to using their brain. I open little savings accounts for them. Not much money, but I'm teaching them, trying to teach them how to save,
yes.
how not to spend every dime that they have. Let them know that there is a rainy day coming. Let them know that when your parents save for Mr. Hard Time, it's not the man to ring your doorbell and tell you my name is Hard Time and you give him the money. You know, these are things that we have to teach our children. Now, we're talking about today parents. Not every child is born into a good parenting home.
That's right.
They're not. But God made allowances for that. You know what he did? He put people like Kay and the rest of you that's on the line, the rest of you that's here in the studio, he put you in those children's lives. He put, there are some family friends. If the mother is not good, we are so quick to call CPS. What about you being CPS?
Amen.
What about you grabbing that child and saying, listen, this is what we're going to do.
Amen.
Your mom is a drug addict. Your mom, you know, I have two children right now they've been in my life since they were kids. They're now grown up. Their mother is still in the street on drugs in another state. But the thing of it is, they call me mom. I do mom things for them. I cry with them. I pray with them. I get on that head. I chastise them. I don't let them go just all willy-nilly, because you young people don't have the mind. They don't have the wisdom that we have. So, and I know what I'm going to be hit with. Wisdom does not come with age. It comes with experience. But if I'm old enough, I have experienced a lot more than you. And that's so, this is what I tell my children. So these are the things that we have to be willing to come out of our comfort zones. Stop pacifying yourself to say, oh, my God, I got this saved and this is saved for my retirement and this. What if you don't reach retirement? You understand
Amen.
What I'm saying? Do something
Amen.
To bless somebody else.
Amen.
And these children need to be blessed, because
Amen.
They have they have a purpose in mind, and I thank Kay for introducing me to this book, Run, Baby, Run. That is such an awesome book, and I have it loaned out down the street to some more little boys. But what I'm trying to say, no child wakes up in the morning and say, I'm just going to be bad as hell today and I'm going to go to jail.
Amen.
They don't do that. They plan it. Have you, that was a thing in the news, the shooting, the mass shooting at a school last week. That little boy had planned that. He told people he was going to do it. Why do you think he made that announcement to the people? He wanted somebody to stop him.
Yes.
Somebody has to show enough love to say, baby, I'm not going to let you ruin your life. And I'm not going to let you change the lives of others. A little boy came to me many years ago. He was about 9 or 10 years old. And he said, Miss Bullock, I'm going to join a gang. And I knew immediately, you are telling me this because you want me to talk you out of it.
Yes.
You want me to tell you that that is not the answer. You are much better than that.
Yes.
So we need to start listening. And we're talking about the different areas. You got your parents, the family or the friends. You've got the school system. Stop trying to teach ABCs all day long and start listening to these children. When they come to school, my granddaughter came home and was talking about a little boy that was in her school. And he was always talking about, I'm going to cut my wrist. I'm going to do this. Those are for help.
Yes.
Now, we should have loving teachers that recognize these things and can bring that to the attention of someone. Child is having a hard time. This child is suffering. Well, if you put the bad apple out, what is it going to do? Lay somewhere and rot. So these are things that we have to be aware of, be cognizant of the fact that you're put in the position. Now, let me tell you the biggest tragedy. We've got a failed parent. We've got a failed family and friend. We've got a failed school system.
Yes.
That only leaves one thing, the church.
Yes.
And it saddens me that the church is so busy shouting inside the walls, speaking in tongues, running around the church, but you don't have enough love in your heart to go get that little boy that's standing on the corner every Sunday morning or when you head to church, go catch him by the hand.
Okay.
And say, come on, baby, you can go with me.
Are
the ones that's in the church. We've got little boys and girls going to church, but they don't have daddies. They don't have mommy.
Yes.
But we have some selfish women who won't let their husbands be surrogate fathers to these children. You're so selfish and insecure about your relationship with your man that you won't let him take this little boy to football with you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are times that people can mistake a relationship. And you find men who are accused of molesting children. But you can, God has a way around that. It's the way you put that program together. You put it together the right way. And any lie that's told on it, the truth will always outrun it. But we've got to be able to think on our feet and think outside of our flesh. And the necessity, somewhere down the line, we have failed our children.
Amen.
Dying.
Yes.
You know, I get so sad when a little boy is killed in the street. He was robbed of his life. Who paid a part in that robbery? You know, throw your hands up. Go ahead and admit it. I did it. I saw the little boy falling through the crack, and I didn't do anything. You know why? I got my own family to think about. It's a responsibility. God's love is for everyone.
Amen.
I was looking at, they were talking about a young man that was being beat up by a police officer or whatever. And the lady said, well, it's okay if you beat him. He was a criminal. You're a criminal. We're all criminals. Show me one of us that's got these white, the wings and the halo that we can just float on the glory. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to think of ourselves better than what we do. And the only way to make you a great person is to be a great person in somebody else's life.
Amen.
Especially our children. Should be just like Moses. They found him in the bulrush and in the land in the little wooden thing. Now, you know that was God's design. What child can float out on the water like that without sinking? You know, but whatever you are purposed to do and helping somebody, God is going to benefit that. He's going to make that everything. He's not going to let it fall short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is one thing. When we talk about have our actions destroyed a child, you know, something, God brought something to my attention. And you guys, I'm not gonna talk this whole show because I want to hear you. But God brought something to my attention. Have you said something that was right and on point, but God kind of hesitated you not to agree? And I was like, okay, yeah, they're right, but I can't let them know right now they're right. Because sometimes that will put a child on a different level. They'll think that they're above the other person. And God never wants that. He wants us to be, and if y'all don't understand what I'm saying, I'm trying to make it. He wants us to be happy or have pride in what we do, but not to the extent that it's going to cripple somebody.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I may be ever so right, but because of my ability to let my flesh react, you may not want to agree with me right now. You may want to catch me somewhere down and say, you know, you were right the other day about what you said, but, you know, I just wanted to take this time to share it with you. In other words, don't make a big scene about it, because that could hurt me. It could make me think and look down upon other people. So living for God is a blessing, but you have to do it with his wisdom or it won't work. It just will not work. So what I want all of you, I know I'm looking at you on my studio board, so all of you can hear me. You have the ability to say something. Just jump in and start saying something. And if I need to be quiet, Lawrence, can you be quiet a minute so I can hear, so I can talk? I promise you it won't offend me. Anybody else got something you want to say?
Lloyd,
go ahead.
This is Lisa Carpenter from Center, Texas.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Glad you could call in. And
yes,
guys,
ma'am.
Let me tell you something about Lisa before she starts talking. She has a youth ministry movement that she does interact with at-risk kids, and she does this on a daily basis. So now go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Well, amen. Bless the Lord. And she says, I do have a at-risk youth ministry, the Divine Ministries Outreach, Inc. We are a nonprofit originated out of Dallas, Texas. And Pastor Laura, she is on my board of directors along with another person. But I'm so overjoyed right now. My heart is just fluttering. And it all began with seeing her post today talking about youth and how we destroyed them. So when I seen that, I didn't even read the whole thing. I'm just like, what time is it? But then when I went back and looked, the time was at the bottom, but I was just so excited because I'm holding in a lot of things right now. And just, you know, the social media at this point, a lot of times in people's lives that have pretty much stuck their neck out for young children that are at risk, social media will try to destroy your character. Amen. If you guys will just follow me for a minute on that.
Okay.
So I've had to hear lately just be quiet a little bit, you know, because like I say, if I get on social media too much, I'm gonna find myself ranting and venting and doing different things like that. Well, everything that Pastor Lois have talked about and the other lady that spoke earlier, that is everything that I've been dealing with. But what I wanted to come in and say is, you know, I don't even have to question myself about my ministry and what the Lord has started in me. It is a good work. It started back in 2007 in my home, taking over a whole project where kids were just, you know, out there hungry. Parents, I walk in the apartments, parents are there on drugs. Mm. Kids not having, you know, any direction of even where they live. I'm out there with them late in the evening time, even having to go to the school a lot of times to make sure the child got home. And then when we get home, it's an empty apartment. So this is how the ministry became about. And also, you know, with my three sons, and when I heard Pastor Lois, I might be skipping just a little bit back and forth, but Pastor Lois was talking about the, you know, the little boys that want to be the gangbangers and all this and that. Well, those were my three sons. And when Pastor Lois first stepped foot into the ministry that I'm doing, she spoke to my sons and she told them, she said, no matter what your mom is doing and what you guys are doing, they were younger then, they're like in their 30s and mid-20s now, but no matter what you guys are doing, you should always support your mom on everything that she's doing. I promise you, my children, my young men have listened to her over the years. They may not be perfect right now, but everything I'm doing within this ministry, these guys, starting from young teenage boys, are still following me in the ministry, and their friends are following me in the ministry. But what's so heartbreaking about the ministry that I'm doing right now, Pastor Laura seen it. She brought it to my attention. I backed off. I've slacked. And the reason why I've slacked because I allowed kids come in my home, and I never had a problem. I've never had nothing to come back and backfire on me over all these years. This is 2017. I'm talking about I started back in 2007. I've never had nothing come back on me with my ministry, my family, with what I'm doing. But here lately, it's just, some things are coming up, and I know the enemy is wanting me to take my hands off of it. And when I seen her post about, do you feel like, you know, you destroyed a child's life? No, I do not. I've actually seen that I've helped a child's life. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault if the other parents don't have these qualifications as a Christian. I am a Christian woman, so when they come in my home, there's going to be certain rules, certain boundaries, different things that this child has not seen. So here we go. When the child gets back home, the child is doing different things that their parent hadn't seen. So it kind of looks like something funny that happened over to Miss Lisa's house. Okay? So this is what's heartbreaking. I haven't destroyed a child's life, but when the child go back home or leave out of my domain, my protection, which God is God's protection. That's what I'm saying. It looks as if something funny like may have went on, and that's I believe that was that same Pastor Lewis was kind of touching on. It just looks different because that child has been touched by Jesus, and the parents hadn't been touched by Jesus. That's all. So I'm just like I say, my heart is fluttering. I'm overjoyed, and all at the same time, I'm still gonna be humble, and I'm still gonna be a witness for Jesus. But I know, Pastor Lewis, my hand do need to get back to the plow with these young kids, you know, and I have slacked off. But I'm glad that I came on here, and I'm so very thankful. And, I mean, my heart is for the youth. That's all I got to say. I hope I made sense, but that's all I have to say.
Praise God. Praise God.
Well, praise God. Come
praise
on,
God. Yes, you know, as I was looking at this title, Have Your Action Destroyed a Child's Life, we can also ask, Have Your Lack of Actions Destroyed a Child's Life?
Yes.
You know, somebody once said the opposite of love is not hate but indifference. But responding to what you said, which so touches my heart, about these kids who act out. Now, anybody who's listened to my radio shows before, you've heard anger masks pain. These kids are angry because as you know, I'm reaching out to a school that's full of gang kids. But what is so heartbreaking is that the teachers can't get beyond their little hurt egos.
Yes.
To see the pain beneath the anger, so that when a kid swears, and they're used to that F word, they hear it all the time. The teacher throws them out on their ear, not caring that by doing that, you're throwing them to the wolves. Now, the other thing you touched upon is that school shooting in Washington on Wednesday. And you're right, Lois, that child spoke about it on Facebook. And my thing was, why didn't somebody who read that go into the school? You know, it's about time that everybody, my thing is, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. If you don't try and do something because our kids are dying, guess what? You're part of the problem. And it takes so little to reach these kids. Sometimes, it's just a smile. And we have to start making a difference. There should be somebody so on fire with passion for our kids that goes into every church in this U.S. of A. to ask, to speak to kids, to let them know there's no answer to your pain other than ending your life or the life of another kid. Your life is worth something. And I will mention, you know, Lois, we have shared how, you know, sometimes God directly intervenes in our circumstances. I call them heavenly hugs, all right?
Yes.
And he does that to say, I'm here. Well, I'm going to throw this out, and anybody listening can analyze it any way they want. But here it is. I have never, ever in my 74 years of life, prior to your invitation to be a host on your blog radio show, ever spoken on a radio show over the phone or listened to one. Never. Okay? Now, last week, as you know, we were set to do this show, and then because you lost your voice at the last minute, it was canceled. Well,
yes.
30 on the nose, which is when my time, this show starts, I got a phone call from the Grey Glory Ministry inviting me to be a part of their backstage program about the Steve McQueen movie. Now, I found that very interesting. At the same time that I should be listening to a blog radio show. But what is incredible is they made statements that we had made on our radio show the week before. And Grey Glory lost a son because of a tragic automobile. So he knows what it's like to lose a son. Now, there's a movie that's out. It's going to be showing in the theater on September 28th. And it's the story of Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen was interviewed And he was quoted, and you could hear him saying this on the movie, if you've been abandoned and your mother doesn't love you and you have no father, you feel it's because you're just not good enough. So he spent his whole life trying to be good enough, and that's how he became one of the leading actors. But then he discovered that once he got up to the top, there was nothing there. He said there was a big hole in his heart. And so he left Hollywood, and he searched, and he found Jesus Christ. And after he found Jesus Christ, he was diagnosed with cancer. And he said his one regret was that he didn't have a chance to tell other people this is the answer to life. This is the only meaning to life. Now, here's Greg Laurie stating, we have got to get out of the church and go into the world. And, you know, Lois, you and I have said that, all right? Then he said, someone won't go to church, but they will go into a movie theater. So what I want you people to do is to bring a guest to this movie on September 28th. Well, because I'm open to the fact that this wasn't a coincidence and maybe God had something in it, I took the time to write to this ministry, and I said, that's wonderful, and I know that God is going to use this movie, but none of my at-risk kids will be walking into that theater to see that movie because there's no one that cares enough to walk into my school and grab a child. See, this is why you get me so excited, because you say the same thing. And this is my issue with the two churches across the street. Now, oh, they'll buy them book bags, but never walk across the street and take a child's hand to say, I care. That alone says your life is worth it. And we got to start doing it. And everyone who doesn't has got to take responsibility for the fact that our kids are dying. That's how I feel.
Yes.
I'm not going to be very popular.
No, you're absolutely right. You are so absolutely right. You guys have said some really, really good things, and it's so motivational that it gives us a new insight, gives us something new to start doing the minute this show is over. You know, we've got to get in a position. You know, I pastor a small church, but it's growing. But God gave us this fivefold ministry, and he gave it to he has evangelists that he loves. Get out in the highways and the byways and
Amen.
Go out and you kids. And you, God has put some young men and women in my church, and he told me, everybody that goes to your church are leaders. They're going to lead in some capacity. If a million of them come, it's going to be a million of them out there to lead. Because I tell everybody, God only has five positions in the kingdom of God. And everybody is born with one of those positions in your hand.
And everybody can love, and that's where it's at.
Yes. And I think about all the time, we have so many scholarship funds. We have a scholarship fund for the seniors and but what about the children that don't make it to be seniors?
Yeah, that's right.
What about the ones in the crowd? You've got some 3-4-year-olds that need to be loved and need to be taught.
Amen.
Discipline. But you have to teach discipline with love. You cannot discipline a child unless you love them.
Amen.
So, you know, so these are things that we have to get ready for. This is why children reject the body of Christ, because number one, we're too critical.
That's right.
We're too critical of our children. We want them to look a certain way, act a certain way, smell a certain way. I don't care what you wear out of church as long as you come. And I promise you, you can come into church sagging. I'm going to put my arm around you, take something and put a pin and pin those pants up, show you where the weapon is, because you obviously don't know where it is. And once you learn where it is, you're going to keep those pants up, but I'm going to keep my arm around you and love you. and we're going to sing while I hold your pants up. That you don't have to worry about. You should see the young men when the kids was in school at my house. And they would come in my yard. You could see them. Oh, there's this bull pulling those pants up, because you know I'm going to hug them and ask them, say, baby, you got a belt. If you don't have a belt, see, I'm from the country. My parents, we weren't rich. My daddy had a little rope he put in the side of his pants and tie a little knot in him, and they would stay up just like he had a belt on. So I threatened to do that a couple of them. But anyway, you just have to love them, and you have to let them know, yeah, I'm serious, but I love you, and we can laugh, and we're going to do whatever it needs. And I'm going to tell you, teachers that get in position, oh, you cursed in front of me. Get over it, lady.
That's right.
Get over it.
That's right. Get over it.
If you are a teacher, give them some vocabulary words. When my children were younger, during the summer, well, they could play during the summer, but they had what they call vocabularies program. I would give them some words that they'd never heard of. They had to find out the meaning. And just on a short notice, I may be in the kitchen cooking. I may walk up to them and ask them that word, and they'd have to give me the meaning and use it in a sentence. But you make things fun for them. Learning should be fun. And I don't know who destroying the school system with all this new math. There's only one way to get 1 + 1. It's only one way. Why should I have to multiply 1 × 0 + 1? You know, that's just something. It's really something to get your kids out focused. And this is why the schools aren't doing good. You know.
But look, as I've mentioned before, but the interesting thing is I study these kids. They only swear at a teacher when the teacher has showed them contempt. I've never had a kid say a rude word to me, let alone swear at me, because they know I love. But guess what? They want to be disciplined. When they have parents who don't discipline them, they take that as non-love. But if they know you care, you can discipline them. You can discipline them. It's so cute, these kids who sag and know I don't like it. When they see me, they quickly pull their pants up.
Yeah.
But they know.
I tell them, baby, come here, let me show you where your waist is. Come on,
It's not because they're offending me. It's because you're cheating yourself. You know, you're cheating yourself. It's like I've said this before. It's like they know, don't say that N-word in front of me. Please, I see purple, blue, red. That word was birthed in the pit of hell. And don't tell me you're trying to make it a positive. And they try not to use it in front of me, you know. And they could blow on me, and I would keel over. So I'm no match for them, certainly physically. It's really.
But you have to let a child know, hey, you're brilliant, you're smart. I have some little 2-year-olds around me, and I've already told one of them he's going to be my CFO, and one is going to be my CEO. You know, and I share with them what that means, and I teach them every day. You know, you have to let them feel like they're important, and I give them chores that no one else can do. No one can put this particular thing in the trash but you.
But
you know
yes, and Lois, just hugging them. Hi, how are you? Communicates to them that there were something. I mentioned a couple of weeks, I'm going to mention again because these things just rivet my heart. You know, there are over 1,000 kids in the school I've reached out to. Obviously, I can't talk to all 1,000 kids. I try to talk to as many kids as I can. And this one day, this kid, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I looked at her. have we spoken? In other words, I'm assuming she's glad that I'm there because we've spoken. She said, no. I said, well, sweetheart, then why are you so glad I'm sitting in the cafeteria? She said, because every time you see me, you smile. A smile communicates
yes.
to them that they're worth something. A hug communicates.
Yes.
And how about an I love you? You know, these teachers
yes.
go to teacher training, and I say, let's try three words. I love, forget all the others. Just try I love you and see where that gets you.
Exactly. I told the teachers that I had when I did have my little private school, I told the teacher, if you are upset about something, call in. Don't come to work. I don't want you to pass that spirit off on the child.
Yeah.
And you have teachers who, look, you better sit there and get yours. I've got mine. And so I said, children don't need to be reminded you're in charge. They already know
yes.
you're in charge.
That's right. That's
so don't
right.
do that. And if you're going to have a lousy day, stay home. Don't bring it and put it on those children. Those children should be, you should be happy, up-tempo, laughing, you know, doing something to make them smile, make it work easier. You know, you can have fun teaching history. You can have fun teaching geography. You can have fun teaching math. You know, it's just the way you present the love of God in your heart towards
Amen.
The thing you're involved in. Because I promise you, God has a loving way of showing everything.
That's right. And it comes so naturally, Lois. It comes so naturally. The kids will really respond to it. I don't know. Did you finish reading Run, Baby, Run?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I
and
did.
You remember this scene. Now, kids are watching. People watch our every move. And
yes, they do.
His name was Peppino. You know, he really was the poorest of the poor. And so when David Wilkerson tried to reach out, to, yeah, man, you can talk. Look at your fancy shoes and look at the holes in my stomach. So now somebody was watching. Was it Nikki watching David? David took off his shoes and put it on the kids. And now be quiet about the shoes. And then proceeded to walk down the sidewalk in his socks. Now, that little thing spoke, was it Nikki that was talking about? It spoke to, I guess it was Nikki who was white. In other words, that said something, that somebody like David Wilkerson would take off his shoes and give it
yeah.
to this, you know, zero-minus kid in terms of society. It's these little, but it comes naturally. When you have the love of Christ in you, you don't have to think about how to do it, what to do, you to say. It just comes naturally because as you look through the eyes of Christ, they're magnificent. They're magnificent.
And the kids feel that.
My
husband almost divorced me once, but, you know, we divorced anyway. But anyway, he almost divorced me because we were out walking the street, you know, just one Saturday telling people about Jesus. And there were these two men. They were sitting on the corner, had their little beer and their little whiskey bottle, and they tried to hide it. So I asked them, why were you hiding it? Well, we just wanted to respect you. I said, you know what, I appreciate it. I said, but you know, the one that's looking down at you that it really matters to, he sees it even behind your back. And so I told them, I said, why don't y'all come right there to church? I said, it's just a block. Some man said, I don't have clothes to wear. I said, and you, what do you wear now? He said, but that's not good enough to come to church. So I said, well, I tell you what, I promise you, if you were in this Sunday night, come up here and I said, I'm not going to just, I'm going to walk with you. So, was a, you know, mission day. We all were white. And, you know, we were so holy that I had my white on and walking with this man that was, you know, not quite as white. And my husband
You know, as this man needs Jesus, leave him alone. And for the love of God, leave me alone. So you know, I'm saying this in a joking manner, but we do have to stand. Things that out of the ordinary in order to pull a child, just like that minister David Wilkerson, just like he got out of his shoes. I'm going to show you that I'm no better than you are.
Amen.
I have a dollar to buy a pair of shoes and you don't, but shoes are not why I'm up here. I'm up here because I want to see your soul saved. I'm up here because
Amen.
I want to see you lead it. I want you to walk in it. In your calling, I want you to do the things that you're supposed to do. And we've got to, you know, get to the position where we're in. Build the lives of a child.
Amen.
Because your non-action can be just as detrimental as your
Absolutely.
Action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, did we not let God be taken out of the school system without raising our voices? And now
yes.
we see the results of it. We just sit by. Everybody
yeah.
is so involved with their own things, right? Church is a place
yeah.
where you run. You get the Holy Ghost goosebumps as you jump up high and shout, praise God, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not what the Lord intended. We are supposed to
mm-hmm.
edify one another so that we can go out in that world and be Jesus'
right.
to our dying.
Right.
Our dying world.
This is something that I want us to take with us this evening. We have like 3 minutes left, and I want to just say I am so thrilled that you guys stayed with us this entire hour. I am so grateful, and I do hope that you take that something you've said and motivated you to do be a better person, you know, on tomorrow or this evening or whatever, or have given you a new insight, the way to look at something. In other words, I want you to be saying, "This I have never thought of it this way," because we're trying to get to a platform that we can bless each other. Do you know, for every child you bless, you'll bless me. For every child I pray, I bless you. And this is how it goes. You know, we have to be helpers one to another. That's
yeah.
the way God's love go around.
Yes.
And we need
yes.
to learn how to come
yes.
out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
Come out of our comfort zone. Lay aside our little prejudices and our little egotistical way of doing things.
That's right.
And we do more hardening of the love of God than anything. We need to be on hard zone. No, it's my God. And it's not your God. It's my God. This is my God's love. No. It's God. And we have 1 minute. Yeah, we have a minute or so left. I want to first thank Kay for being with us, and I hope you felt like you were really, really, really the show, and I enjoy having you. I'm going to do it next week, should the Lord say so. I thank the Lord for the person that's in the 518 area code. You didn't say anything, but you were here. You showed us you loved us and thank you. Thank you, my friend Lisa, for being on the line, and I hope you were tremendously blessed by it. And for anything that you guys want to, y'all can send me an email. You can send it to letstalktruth333@gmail.com. That's let's, without the apostrophe, L-E-T-S, talktruth333@gmail.com. And when I get off of this, I also post this on Facebook, and I also post it on Twitter. So that you all know how to go in and find it on the internet should you want to listen to it again, or give you the link to I'll give you the link and you can give it to people that you want to listen to about that. Everybody that's in the studio,
I have 10 seconds left. Thank you, Courtney. He's already gone. Thank you, Shannon, for the introduction. And I just want to say this. I'm Lois Bullock, Mrs. Let's Talk Truth, and I'm loving you with the heart of God. Good night.
Good night.